Everybody, thank you so much for joining us again. I apologize for last week, but it's nice to be back, learning together again and teaching together again. We are studying this morning chapter 86 of Tehillim, Pei Vav, which is a very powerful chapter of Tehillim, resonated profoundly with me, and I think it will resonate with you as well. This chapter is, some of the Prakim of Tehillim are more poetic, and we have to guess a little bit to better understand what exactly the message is. I don't think this is one of those chapters. I think this is one of those chapters we're going to read through together. And very quickly, everyone's going to get a feeling of the emotion behind this chapter of Tehillim. And you'll see that in the micro sense, it is said by someone who is being persecuted by enemies. But I think if you broaden it out just a little bit, I think it very much applies to many of us. Maybe not all the time, but definitely at various parts of our life. This chapter 86, did she? 86. Yeah, okay. Chapter 86 of Tehillim. It's broken up into four sections. Sections 1 through 7 is a request from Hashem that he listens to our prayers. You'll notice in sections 1 through 7, and we're going to come back to why this is the case, but there's one word that's going to come up over and over and over again. And anyone who's been learning Tehillim now with me for the last 10 years knows that when we come across a word over and over and over again, it's like the Torah is highlighting it for us. And it wants to know, why is that word there? So I'm going to ask you, as we read through it, what that word is. And we'll see if you guys can guess it and figure it out. Hold on one second. Okay. Sections 2 is Psukim 8 through 10. Where we come to a praise of Hashem. Psukim 11 through 13 is what we're going to talk about, a unity of heart towards Hashem. What exactly does that mean? We talk about a unity of heart towards Hashem, and we'll describe that a little bit. And lastly, Psukim 14 through 17 is salvation from our enemies. And I just realized I didn't print something off, but I have it on my computer, so I'll be able to read it for you there. Okay, let's jump right in. This is not a challenging chapter of Tehillim. As I said, the words are not complicated. It is not particularly poetic. Many of the psukim are going to be familiar to you through davening, and if we don't have that exact same pasuk in davening, you'll notice that the theme of that pasuk is going to be somewhat overt in davening as well. And I will admit that this is the chapter that I had prepared for last week, which means that I had a week to ruminate about this chapter of Tehillim. And I believe it's like a fine wine, that the more you go over this Perakah Tehillim, the more it will resonate with you, as I know it has for me as well. So let's jump right in. Chapter 86 of Tehillim. It is great to see you all in person. It is great to see everyone online. And Baruch Hashem, it is great to be back teaching. Pei Vav. Tfila leDavid, Hatei Adonai Aznecha Aneni, Ki Ani Ve'Evion Ani. That is a tongue twister. Try saying that pasuk 10 times fast. But obviously there's a poetry to that pasuk. Tfila leDavid, a prayer of David, Hatei Adonai Aznecha Aneni. Hashem, Hatei, listen, pay attention to me. Aneni, answer me. Ki Ani Ve'Evion Ani. Because I am what? I am impoverished because I am poor. What exactly are we talking about here that David HaMelech feels this way? The Radak is really the only of the classic commentaries that attributes this to a specific time in David HaMelech's life. Says the Radak, Zeh Mizmor Chivru David Beodenu Boreach Mibnei Shaul. This was a chapter that was written by David as he was running away from Shaul. Says the Radak, why does David HaMelech call himself Ani Ve'Evion? Why is he poor and impoverished? Because when you're running away and you're dependent on the benevolence of everyone else, so what do? You feel poor because you're not sleeping in your own bed. You don't know who's going to rat you out at what time. You don't know if you're going to be sleeping in the same spot tomorrow night. So that's the definition of, we'll see, are we talking about physical? Are we talking about spiritual? But no matter whether you say physical or spiritual, that's the poverty that we're talking about here. In other words, you are beholden to other people, the same way a poor person does not know where his next meal is going to come from, says the Radak, that is the feeling that David HaMelech has here. He doesn't know where he's sleeping tomorrow night. And he doesn't know where his next meal is going to come from. And he doesn't know who he can trust and who he cannot trust. And so David HaMelech feels poor. There's no one that he can depend upon, as we'll see, other than his relationship with Hashem. So Tefillah David is an ani ve'evion. He is poor. Says the Malbim that David HaMelech is asking to be saved for a variety of reasons. Five different reasons. We're going to go through them. The first of them is in this pasuk. Ki ani ve'evion ani, says the Malbim, mitzad harachamim. That the reason why David HaMelech wants to be saved is for no good reason other than Hashem's mercy. Right? We think sometimes we're worthy of the kindness of Hashem, that we're deserving of it. David HaMelech starts off and says, I am not worthy of anything. Mitzad harachamim, ki ani ve'evyonani. Hashem, I am completely impoverished. I have nothing. I've been thrown to the wolves, so to speak. And so the first reason David HaMelech comes to Hashem is because of mercy. The Rav Hirsch over here has a beautiful comment. Says Rav Hirsch, Tefillah leDavid. That is a prayer of David. He writes here, this psalm expresses the basic thought that the goal of prayer should not be so much to obtain the desired help as to reassure oneself of God's nearness in times of trouble. It's important to remember that when we daven to Hashem, it is not because God is an ATM machine. Even though asking for our needs is a fundamental component of davening, that is not the reason why we daven. The needs that we ask Hashem for are what we call like a hechitimsa. They're a means to an end. But the end goal is the relationship with Hashem. So verse says, this chapter reminds us that while we ask Hashem for things, it's not really the things that we want. Ultimately, what we want and what we crave more than anything else is that sense of nearness to Hashem in times of trouble. The awareness of this nearness is in itself the answer of prayer. And so it's important for us to remember that while we might ask God for things, that is not the end goal that we are aspiring for in prayer. Rather, the end goal that we're aspiring for in prayer is that feeling of closeness to Hashem. And it's that feeling of closeness in and of itself, which is the result that we aspire for in prayer. So we might ask Hashem for a refuah shleima, we might ask Hashem for parnasa, we might ask Hashem for children, we might ask Hashem for nachas, we could ask Hashem for all these different things. But the most important part of all of those requests is that feeling of closeness to Hashem. We've said it in previous weeks, we're going to say it again, it's going to come up here, but that phrase of Horeini Hashem Darkecha, show me your way, quote of Levi Yitzchak and Berditchev, last time we learned, I quoted again in Minchah Maariv last night. What do we really want when we say, Horeini Hashem Darkecha, Hashem, show me your way? What we're really saying is, Hashem, I want that relationship with you. That there's so many times in life when it feels like I'm walking through darkness, when it feels like I can't understand why things are happening in the way things are happening. And all I want is to feel you by my side. All I want is to understand that what's happening is for the best, and that it's because you want it to happen. And if it's because you want it to happen, then I'm willing to tolerate it. I'm willing to go through it. But I crave that relationship with you. If you think about so much of our davening, that's what it's about. Whether it's Yedi Nefesh on Shabbos, or we say Nafshi Cholas Ava, that our soul is sick for you, Hashem. That's ultimately what we're craving for, is that relationship with you, Hashem. So it's a beautiful reminder from Rav Hirsch of what prayer is, and what prayer is not. Prayer is not simply, God, you're an ATM machine. I want something. I ask something. If I get it, great. If I don't get it, I'm disappointed. Yes, asking things from Hashem is a fundamental part of prayer. But the main part of prayer is craving that relationship and feeling that nearness of Hashem in times of trouble. That is the answer of prayer itself. And so sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes God says, I'm not going to give you what you ask for. But when I feel close to Hashem, Dayinu. That's really what my soul wants more than anything else. So that is Rav Hirsch. That is the Malbim's first reason that David HaMelech is asking to be saved. Pasuk number one is because ani ve'evyon ani, because I am poor, I am impoverished, and therefore Hashem, I beseech you for your midas harachamim because of your attribute of mercy. Shamra nafshi ki chasid ani. Hosha avdecha ata Elohai haboteach elecha. Shamra nafshi, ki chasid ani. Hashem, save me, because chasid ani. Because I'm a chasid. Chasid, not in the sense that David HaMelech is wearing a strimal and a kapata, but chasid, he says, I'm a pious Jew. Hoshav decha ata Elohai. Therefore, save me, haboteach elecha, because I put my faith in you. This says the Malbim are reasons 2 and 3 why David HaMelech wants to be saved. Reason number one was because of your rachamim, because of your chesed Hashem. Reason number two is mishpat vehadin, judgment. In other words, Hashem, I try my hardest. I'm a chassid. I do my best. Vim chassid, tit chassid. And because I serve you, therefore you should do chesed back to me. Right? Chassid, tit chassid. Because I'm a chassid, Hashem, therefore you should do good to me. Because I put in my effort to serve you, therefore you should bestow kindness on me. So the first reason, says the Malbim, David HaMelech says, I'm not worthy at all. Second reason, David HaMelech says, I try my best. And because I'm trying my best, therefore you should do chesed back to me. Reason number three is bitachon. This is the end of the pasuk. Haboteach elecha. David HaMelech says, Hashem, you should bestow your kindness upon me because I put my faith in you. Because boteach elecha. Because I put my faith in you. What does this mean? That David HaMelech is saying to Hashem, ki chassid ani. That I am a chassid. Right? That sounds a little bit arrogant, maybe. A little bit presumptuous of David HaMelech to say that I am worthy of your kindness, Hashem, because, hey, I'm a chassid. I'm a Spitz Jew. Who gives David HaMelech the right to talk to Hashem that way? Almost reeks of a little bit of chutzpah. Almost reeks of a little bit of arrogance on behalf of David HaMelech. So Rashi over here says that what does it mean that David HaMelech says he's a chassid? He says, "Shani shomea gedufai v'cherposai, v'icholas b'yadi linakim ve'ini ve'ani shosek." What does it mean to be a chassid, says Rashi? That people speak negatively against me, and I can take revenge against them, but I choose not to. I choose to be quiet, even when people speak out against me. That, says Rashi, is the definition of a chassid. A chassid is someone who is attacked publicly. A chassid is someone who videos are made about them publicly. A chassid is someone who postcards are put in mailboxes of 1,000 people against them. But instead of speaking out, instead of taking revenge, ani shosek, I sit quietly and I let you, Hashem, take care of those who seek to harm me. That's Rashi's definition. Nothing about what's going on in our community nowadays, but that's Rashi's definition. Then Rashi quotes the Gemara in Maseches Brachos. He only quotes one opinion. I'm going to share both of them, and I didn't print it out, so I'm going to pull it up online. But the Gemara in Brachos tells us that there's a machlokis Levi v'Rav Yitzchak about our pasuk of ki chassid ani. What does it mean that David HaMelech is a chassid? One of the opinions, Kach Amar David Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what David says to Hashem. Ribono Shel Olam, lo chassid ani. Am I not a chassid? Shekol Malchei Mizrach U'Marav Yishenim Ad Shloshaos Ve'ani Chatzos Laila Akum. All of your kings and all of your queens, they're sleeping into 3 hours of the day. But ani, but me, says David HaMelech, Chatzos HaLaila, I'm waking up in the middle of the night. This, of course, is the source for our Zmanei Tefillah. Why we have to say Shema in Shmon Esrei by certain hours of the day. The Gemara learns it out because of B'shach B'cha of Kumecha, that we do it based on when the kings used to wake up, the third hour of the day. So David HaMelech says, all of your kings, all of your queens are sleeping, they're slumbering, they're lazy. But me, I'm waking up in the crack of dawn. I'm waking up K'chatzos HaLaila. And that's one opinion. V'idach, in the other opinion, says, Kach Amar David Livnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what David HaMelech says before Hashem. Ribono Shel Olam lo chassid ani. Again, Hashem, am I not a chassid? Sheko Malchi Mizrach U'Marav Yoshvim Agudos Agudos Bechvodam. All of your kings and queens, they're sitting neat and orderly with kavod and honor and regality and pomp and circumstance and that sense of royalty. And they're sitting there with their white gloves and their pristine garments and their crowns, right? What do I do though? Says David HaMelech. Ve'ani, I don't sit there with my white gloves and my pristine regal garments. Yadai meluchlachos bedam. My hands are full of blood. What does it mean? My hands are full of blood. It means I'm paskening shilas. I'm answering nida questions and I'm adjudicating fights over business deals and between neighbors. Right? Not that. Neighbors in our community, I love my neighbors, but I've heard some neighbors don't get along, right? So David HaMelech says, my hands are dirty. I'm in the nitty gritty. I'm not just a king who's sitting in the ivory palace with my pristine gloves and sitting on the throne. No, I'm in the trenches with you guys. When two people are fighting, I'm answering it. When someone has a shaila, even if it means I got to get my hands dirty a little bit, I'm willing to do it, says David HaMelech. So those are the two opinions in the Gemara. In other words, lo chassid ani, am I not a chassid? All of your other kings are doing X, but me? Two opinions. Either I don't sleep late, or I'm willing to get my hands a little bit dirty. That is the Gemara in Maseches Brachos, David HaMelech saying why he is a chassid. I'll share with you a beautiful insight of the Me'ah Shiloach. The Me'ah Shiloach, or Mordechai Leiner, the Ishbitzer Rebbe, or one of the Ishbitzer Rebbe's. So he says a very beautiful idea on this Gemara in Brachos. He says, "Hainu ki hamenios sheish la'adam mitorah ve'avoda mechulakos b'deos b'nei adam." There are two reasons why someone weakens in their service of Hashem. Yesh anashim asher mitzad gaiva. Some, it's because people are so arrogant. They think so highly of themselves that they don't leave any room for God, right? What do we always say? Ego is ease God out. That their ego is so big that they've eased God out, there's no God in the picture. That's number one. V'yesh anashim, and the other reason why people don't succeed in their service of Hashem, asher mitzad atzlus, because they're lazy. Shekasha lefanav leitze mehergil shalo, right? It's hard for them to break from whatever it is that they're used to doing. V'kasha lefanav lehisyageya, and they're not willing to put in any of the effort. So says Mordechai Leiner, says the Me'ah Shiloach, there are two reasons why people are not successful. Either because they're so caught up in their habits that it's impossible for them to break their habits, or because of arrogance, that they think so highly of themselves, they don't make room for God in their life. Says the Me'ah Shiloach, those two reasons are the two opinions in this Gemara. To those who say that I can't succeed in my Judaism because I am lazy, that's the first argument of David HaMelech. David HaMelech says, Kachatzos halayla, I wake up in the middle of the night. In other words, everyone else is lazy, Hashem, but me? I'm willing to break those habits. I'm willing to do whatever it takes, even if it means waking up in the middle of the night for you, Hashem. And for the second opinion, those who are too arrogant, those who care too much about their honor and their kavod, David HaMelech says, not me. I'm willing to get my hands dirty. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. And so says the Me'ah Shiloach, the two reasons why people are unsuccessful, that's why David HaMelech is coming back and saying, I'm a chassid. For those who aren't successful because they're so caught up in habits, I wake up in the middle of the night. I'm willing to make myself uncomfortable. I'm going to do whatever it takes, Hashem. And for those who are unsuccessful because their egos are so big and they're so caught up in their own honor, says David HaMelech, not me. I'm willing to get my hands dirty. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I don't care about my honor. The only thing I care about, Hashem, is your honor. Beautiful insight of the Gemara in Brachos and the Me'ah Shiloach's interpretation of that Gemara in Brachos. So that's Ki Chassid Ani. Radak points out, very simply, what does it mean that he's a chassid? That Afal Pisha Lefamim Hu Chote. David HaMelech says, even though there are some times that I sin, Haya Yashar Umitcharet Bechet. I immediately do tshuva, I immediately regret it, and in my heart of hearts, I'm a good person. And that, I think, is the most relatable of all the interpretations. Says the Radak, what does it mean to be a chassid? Chassid doesn't mean that you never make mistakes. To be a chassid, to be a righteous, pious Jew, means that even when you make the mistakes, so you're willing to acknowledge it, you're willing to regret it, and you're willing to bounce back from it. And so says the Radak, David HaMelech, Hashem doesn't expect anyone to be perfect, but he does expect us to be introspective. He does expect that when we get it wrong, we're willing to bounce back from those mistakes and re-engage in the relationship with Hashem. And therefore, the Radak ends with a very beautiful line, because he starts off by saying, how could David HaMelech have the chutzpah to call himself a chassid? And then he makes his whole argument. And then at the end, he says, "Ein kein, ein bazeh tema." He says, now I think you'll all reason there was no question in the first place. David HaMelech has the right to call himself a chassid. Again, a chassid doesn't mean you get it right every time. Chassid means that you're willing to bounce back from those mistakes. Okay, that is all Pasuk 1 and 2. We're up to Reason 3 in the Malbim of why David HaMelech is worthy to be saved, either because of mercy, or because he's a chassid, he's tried his hardest, or because of his bitachon in Hashem, aboteach elecha. Pasuk Gimel. Chaneni Adonai, Hashem, have mercy. Oh, Chaneni Adonai. Hashem had mercy on us. He shut off the AC. Chaneni Adonai, keilecha kra kol hayom. Hashem, have mercy on us, on me, because I call out to you every day. So this says the Malbim is reason number four. David HaMelech says, I daven to you, Hashem. Right? I put my faith in you by davening to you all day long. And then, Sameach Nefesh Avdecha, Hashem, gladden the heart of your servants. Ki lecha Adonai nafshi esa, because my soul, I turn my soul towards you. This, says the Malbim, is the last one, which means, Mitzad she'eni mityaish mikol inyanei ha'olam. Ve'einli davar ba'olam rak inyanei avodasecha. David HaMelech says, I could care less about anything in this world. The only thing that I care about is my relationship with you. Only thing I care about is placing my faith, placing my efforts in my service of you. So that's the five reasons of the Malbim that he interprets. I think Pasuk 4 is a beautiful Pasuk. Sameach Nefesh Avadecha. We ask Hashem to gladden the heart of you, or the soul of your servant, because Keilecha Adonai Nafshi Esa. Because what does our soul want? It wants you. It wants that relationship with you. Listen to this comment of the reverse. Such a beautiful comment. Not only do I have this underlined, but I have it starred. That's how you know it's a beautiful idea. What is Simchas HaNefesh? Right? It's not just Simcha here, but it's Sameach Nefesh Avadecha. It could have just said Sameach Avadecha. Make your Eved happy. What is Sameach Nefesh Avadecha? What does it mean when we ask Hashem to make our nefesh happy, our soul happy? How does our soul's happiness differ from general and generic happiness? Says reverse the following beautiful idea. He says, the joy of the soul is the highest happiness of which man is capable of experiencing here on earth. So there's levels of happiness. There's simcha, and then there's simchas hanefesh, the happiness of the soul, which supersedes that. What does that mean? And he can attain this greatest happiness at all times and in all circumstances of fate. Says Rav Hirsch, the beauty of simchas hanefesh is that you can have it anytime and anywhere and under any circumstances. Because what does simchas hanefesh mean? Simchas hanefesh is completely independent of external circumstances. So sometimes we think simcha is dependent on something. So I'm at a family simcha. Oh, now I'm at a family simcha. I experience simcha. I won the lottery, right? Two people won the $550 million lottery, none in Florida, but don't throw out your ticket yet. There were multiple million-dollar winners, some of whom live in Florida, right? So you won $1 million last night. Now I can experience simcha. Something happens, and as a result, I experience simcha. But what does that assume or presume? That if that thing doesn't happen, or I don't experience that salvation, then what do I not have? I don't have that simcha. Says reverse, that's not what simchas hanefesh is. Simchas hanefesh is a simcha which is independent of external circumstances. The most grievous tragedy, the most abject poverty, of the most threatening peril, can become the source of the purest, highest simchas hanefesh, when one can find the power to view it as his task to bear such troubles with dignity and resignation. And when he fully succeeds in discharging the task, that is simchas hanefesh. The ability to attain and preserve such simchas hanefesh in the midst of suffering has been our talisman throughout our past troubles, and is for this reason that amid all of the acts of oppression and persecution, we have remained spiritually alert and serene as a nation. Not an easy level, but it's the calling card of the Jewish people. Simchas hanefesh means that no matter what is going on around you, the good, the bad, and the ugly, whether you're experiencing salvation or whether you're experiencing hardship and troubles and trials and tribulations, to be able to find what he calls that simchas hanefesh, that sense of serenity, that sense of inner peace, that sense of calmness, that sense of faith in Hashem, in reliance on Hashem, under any circumstances, that is Simchas HaNefesh. And so Simchas HaNefesh is independent of any and external circumstances. I could be going through good times in my life. I could be going through challenging moments in my life. But it's that Simchas HaNefesh which has carried us through our entire history. And therefore we say, Ki Elecha Hashem Nafshi Esa. Right? Where does that Simchas HaNefesh come from? It comes from lifting up my soul towards you. All of my soul's striving is to become even more worthy of thy gladdening presence and nearness. It's when I feel that closeness to you, Hashem, even under the most precarious situations, even under the most extreme trials and tribulations, that is that feeling of Simchas HaNefesh. Not an easy level at all, but it's a level that we've seen David HaMelech achieve over and over again throughout his recitation of Sefer Tehillim. If you listen to our interview with Nissen Black last night, he actually quoted David HaMelech. He referenced David HaMelech in Tehillim when he said that's what makes Tehillim so great. That's what makes it so relatable. David HaMelech didn't have an easy life. David HaMelech has what we would call street credibility. You think David HaMelech had it easy? You think these were easy words for David HaMelech to write? But he lived these words. He was literally being chased and persecuted. He was being mocked and he was being sought to be killed. And yet over and over again, David HaMelech puts his faith. He finds that serenity in the relationship with Hashem. That, says Rav Hirsch, is Simchas HaNefesh. No matter what is going on around you, to be able to find that relationship with Hashem, to be able to put your faith in God despite whatever is taking place, that is what it means to have Simchas HaNefesh. Pasuk 5. Ki ata Adonai tov v'salach v'rav chesed l'chol karecha. Because Hashem, you are good, you are forgiving. V'rav chesed, you are of an abundance of kindness. L'chol karecha, to anyone who calls out to you. Again, these are where some of the phrases should be familiar to you throughout various parts of davening, tachanun, yom norayim, etc. Ha'azina Adonai tfilasi Hashem. Listen to my prayers. V'akshiva b'kol tachanun osai. And pay attention to the voice of my beseeching you. Of course, tachanun osai means that it's not just I'm davening by rote, but when we say about tachanunim, it means that I'm like calling out to you. There's a desperate, what? Right. It's coming from the heart. It's authentic. It's genuine. It's real. I'm not just reading words on a page, but it's coming from my essence. B'yom tzarasi ekra'echa kisa'aneni. And on the day when I'm finding myself in a difficult situation, I call out to you. Why? Kisa'aneni, because you have answered me. No, it's because you have answered me in the past. That's why I'm calling out to you when I find myself in a difficult situation. What word comes up over and over again? Anyone? Key. Bam. Nailed it. The word key. Because. Why because? David HaMelech keeps on saying, Hashem, do this for me because. Do this for me because. Do this for me because. So you got to think about that. What do you guys think? Why the word because? Ki chasidani, ki elecha, ki elecha, ki ata, ki taneni. Right, what's David HaMelech trying to create here? It's almost the way we would have a conversation. Right? Hashem, help me because I need something. Hashem, help me because I'm not worthy and you're the only one that I have to rely on. For me, again, I don't know, and I wish I had like a fancier answer, but you definitely notice the word, definitely jumps out at you. For me, it makes it very relatable because I think it's the way you and I would formulate a prayer to Hashem. Hashem, help me because I have no one else. Hashem, help me because I'm trying my hardest. Hashem, help me because I'm putting my faith in you. Hashem, help me because I'm calling out to you. Hashem, help me because all I really want in the world is that relationship with you. So I think it's a very relatable formulation of how that prayer would take place, how you and I would structure davening if we were just conversing with Hashem in the absence of any siddurim, in the absence of any prakim of Tehillim. But again, think about it. I welcome your suggestions. You're welcome to share it with me now in an email afterwards, or you could just ignore me. But the word definitely jumps out. Pasuk 8. Ein kamocha be'elim Adonai ve'ein kamasecha. Again, a very famous pasuk, one that is familiar to all of us. What does this mean? Ein kamocha be'elim Adonai ve'ein kamasecha. Two different parts to that sentence. So the Malbim points out that each part of that sentence is a reference to a different type of heretic. That there are those heretics that say, Shayu machishim hanhagaso va'amru, she'agam shu levado baras olam, that even if God created the world alone, masar hanhaga lekisos acherim, he gave over providence to other forces. In other words, God created the world and then he checked out. So therefore we say, ein kamocha. We say, no, there's none other than you. Ki ata manhig elyon v'kula mekablim kocha meitcha. Hashem, you are the be-all and end-all, and even if there are other forces in the world, they all get their energy from you. They all take their orders from you. But v'yesh kito shayu omrim, shayu po'olim rabim bebriya, v'shenivra al yidei ilos v'ilos, lu'umazeh. Right? There are those who say, no, that there were multiple creative energies in the world. Right? Think of Greek mythology. There's the god of war and the god of love and the god of peace, and they're fighting against each other all the time. And so when you have peace, it's because the god of peace won out. And when you have the god of love, Cupid, whatever that guy's name is, right? That's because he's winning out. So says the Malbim, that is when we say, Ve'in kamasecha. In kamocha, there's none like you. In ve'in kamasecha, there are none like your actions. So whether you say that God created the world and checked out, no. And when you say, no, that there are multiple forces in the world, no. That's the two parts of the pasuk, says the Malbim. Ein kamocha, v'ein kamasecha. There's none like you, and there's none like your actions. In other words, there's none like the power that you alone, Hashem, have. Kol agoyim. Pasuk tes. Asher asisa. Yavou v'yishtachavu lefanecha Adonai. All of the nations that you created, they're going to come, and they're going to bow down to you. V'yichabdu l'shmecha. And they're going to show you honor. They're going to show you kavod, Hashem. Says the Radak, what are we talking about here? Ye'odzman, shekol ha'goyim ashir asisa yakiru. There's going to come the time when all of the nations that you created, eventually they're going to come and they're going to recognize you. Ki ata asisa, because you created them. Ki akiru ki ata adonakol. And they're ultimately going to recognize your dominion, your providence. This, of course, is the theological epicenter of the parshios that we're reading now, right? Leman yedu, v'yadata, this notion of leman das, that they're going to know. The whole purpose of the makos, the whole purpose of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim is so that everyone will come to a recognition of Hashem. That, says Radak, is what we're talking about here, that eventually all of the nations of the world, they're going to come, and they're going to recognize you. Ki gadol ata ve'otzeh niflos, because you are great and you perform miracles. Ata Elohim levadecha. You do it and you do it alone. Horeini Adonai darkecha. Again, we see this phrase again. Hashem, show me your way. Ahalech ba'amitecha. And I will walk in truthfulness, like emes. Yached levavi liirashmecha. And you will, yached, you will unify my heart in fearing you, and in serving you. What are we talking about here? Says the Malbim, that David HaMelech here is asking for three things. Number one, Shehu darkei anhagaso, eich mani ga'olam b'chesed rachamim. Number one is, Hashem, that you should show us how you manipulate the world, how you run the world with kindness. Leman yilameid laleches b'drachim elos, that we can have the confidence to follow you. Number two, Shiodiu hamitius hane'elamim miseichel ha'adam, that you should show us the truths that are hidden from mankind. In other words, there's so much that we don't understand about your oneness, about the unity of your name, about why good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. There's so much that we don't understand, Hashem. And so we ask you to show us the truths of this world. And number three, Ha'amitiyut be'amunat v'deyot she'asik b'seichel ha'yuni ha'odahi al tovo she'hisi v'lo tia'odah im kavanas mevakish. Hamitius be'amunos v'deo she'asik b'seichel yuni achdus Hashem hashka chaso v'yichol to. Again, that notion of einod milvado, that we should understand that everything just comes from you. And even though we see elements in this world that seem to be antithetical to you and to be taking the world away from you, we should ultimately see how that's bringing us closer to you, how that has the possibility to bring us closer to that sense of oneness of your name. So again, all three, there's a little bit overlap, but it's that notion of there's so much that we don't understand this world. And so we say, Horeini Hashem Darkecha. Hashem, just help us understand. Help us understand you. Help us understand the way that you run the world. Help us understand why things happen in this world. That is Yached Levavi. What does it mean, Yached Levavi? That sometimes our heart feels pulled in different directions. Sometimes our heart feels pulled between this world and Hashem. And there is almost like a brokenness to it. That we're seeing one thing, but we know another thing, and we feel pulled and tugged in different directions. I think everyone feels this at various parts of their life, that on the one hand, you know certain truths about your relationship with Hashem, and on the other hand, you're so engrossed in the challenges of this world that you feel pulled in another direction. Sometimes it could be when you see a tragedy, and we say tzedakah din at a funeral, we reinforce the sense of righteousness. Why do we do that? Because Chazal understood that when you're at a tragedy, when you're at a funeral, it's very easy to say, Hashem, I don't understand how you're running the world. So what do we daven for? V'yachei levavi, Hashem, create that oneness in my heart, that I shouldn't feel that there are multiple, not that there are multiple gods, because I don't think any of us are feeling that, but yeah, that I shouldn't feel that there's like a brokenness in my relationship with you, Hashem, that I'm feeling that you don't run the world, or that you don't care about the world, or you don't care about me, and you don't care. So I should never feel that, Hashem. I should never feel that there's like the God that I feel close to, but then there's also a God that's doing things in this world that seem antithetical to that love and that kindness that I want to feel towards you. That's V'yachei Levavi. I think it's a very relatable pasuk. I think it's a very powerful pasuk. I think it's something that all of us feel at various times. Right? This is Hashem Echad that we say in Shema every single day. What does it mean, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? That there are different relationships to Hashem. There's Midas Harachamim, there's Midas Hadin, and we say, Hashem Echad, Hashem, let me feel that it is all coming from you. When I feel the good, it's coming from you. When I feel the not good, I should recognize that it's coming from you. That's Yachei Levavi, that my heart should always be recognizing the oneness of how you run and how you control the world. That I should feel that everything's coming from you emotionally, that you're the epicenter of everything that happens in my life. Exactly. Pasuk Yud Beis, song that my wife actually walked down the aisle to. Odcha Adonai Elohai Bechol Levavi. I'm going to thank you. I'm going to praise you with all of my heart. Ve'achabda Shimcha Leolam, and I'll give honor to your name for eternity. Ki Chazdecha Gadol Alai, because your chesed is great upon me. V'itzalta nafshi mishol tachtia, and you have saved me. You have saved my soul from the abyss. In other words, any time I found myself drowning, any time I found myself falling, what have you done, Hashem? You have saved me, and you have showed me that kindness. Pasuk Yedal 14, Elohim, Zedim kamim kamu alai ve'adas aritzim bikshu nafshi. There are those, the enemies are coming against me, and they're seeking out my soul and my life. But Hashem, you are going to protect me. You are not going to allow them to come against me. Hashem, you are a God of mercy and kindness. You see here, we are evoking the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim, the 13 attributes of mercy. Hashem, right? Kelchanun Rachum Erech Apayim V'Rav Chesed. Pnei Eli, turn to me, Hashem. V'chaneni. What do you notice happens before we even ask Hashem to answer our tefillos? We ask Hashem, Pnei Eli. Think about what Rav Hirsch said at the beginning. What's even more important than the answer to our question? What's even more important than Hashem being the ATM machine is remembering that relationship. Pnei Eli. Think about what Rav Hirsch had said, right? It's that Hashem's nearness, that in and of itself is the answer to our prayers. So Pnei Eli, Hashem, turn toward me. When you're in an argument with someone, when you feel a coldness from a friend or from a spouse, so what's the worst thing that a person can do is turn their back on you, right? You can get in an argument with someone, okay, you'll make up, but when the person turns their back on you, that's the most painful thing. And so we come back from Hashem and we say, Pnei Eli, Hashem, turn towards me. I want to feel your nearness. I want to feel your love. I want to feel your affection, Hashem. V'chaneini, have mercy on me. Tina uzcha le'avdecha. Give strength to your servants. Vahoshia leven amatecha. And save the child of your amasecha. What is an amasecha? We say this in Hallel, right? In Ma'ashiv la'Hashem. What is leben amasecha? So we know there are different types of servants. That there are certain types of servants and slaves that were bought, right? I couldn't pay my bills. I stole. I'm under debt. And so I was sold into slavery. And then there's a ben amasecha. Ben amasecha is someone who was born into slavery. Says Rashi that this is a higher level. Ben ha'ama mashpil es atmo lefnei adonav yosir mimiknas chesed. Someone who was born into slavery is a higher level than someone who was bought into slavery. Why? Sheben ha'ama yelid bias. He was born into it. V'gado b'cheik adonav. And so he has an even greater appreciation for the kindness of his master. Why? Because the master has literally raised him. The master has literally clothed him and fed him the entire time. So it's a higher level, says Rashi in the other Meforshim. Asei imi os l'tova v'yir'us son'ai v'yevoshu Hashem. Show me. Show me an os. Show me a sign of kindness. V'yiru son'ai v'yevoshu ki ata Adonai azartani v'nichamtani. Let my enemies see that you're on my side and that you're saving me and that you're having mercy on me. That is the end of the parak. So as I said, the words here are relatively, they're not particularly challenging words. I don't think it's a particularly poetic chapter of Tehillim in the sense that, like, you know, I'm thinking like Hashem Malach Geus Lavesh Lavesh, we had to like crack our heads and bend it into a pretzel and like do a dance on our head to try to understand what exactly the Perek of Tehillim was trying to communicate to us. I think this is a little bit more easy to relate to, and therefore I think it spoke to me in a very powerful way. I think emotionally you get a very clear sense from David right off the bat, ki ani ve'evyon ani, that David HaMelech is writing from a place of desperation, in despair, that he's going through a moment of hardship. That word of ki, Hashem save me because, Hashem save me because you're merciful, because I'm doing my hardest, because I've prayed for you, because I put my faith in you. And there's, when you have that word because over and over and over again, it almost like evokes this sense of desperation, right? When your child comes and asks you something, and you say, why do you want this? Because this, because this, because this, because this, because this, because this, right? I don't know, my children never do that, right? Right? So, but the because almost becomes the source of that desperation. I need it because my friends are gonna, you know, they're not gonna invite me anymore, and because I'm not, right? So you're like pulling at the strings here. Because. So I think that's the emotion that's being conveyed over and over again through that word because. You have the praise of Hashem. You have that sense of almost like Hashem, do it for yourself. Like help me help you. Hashem v'yachel levavi. Don't put me in a challenging situation where I should feel that you've forgotten me, that I should feel that you no longer run the world. But all I want, Hashem, all I want is to feel at peace with you. Yachin levavi means, instead of my heart feeling torn, I want to feel at peace with you, Hashem. I want to feel that sense of serenity. I want to feel that inner tranquility. I want to feel that simchas hanefesh that we spoke about, that inner happiness that we feel when no matter what is going on externally, we always know that Hashem has our back, and we always know that we can fall on that relationship with Hashem. That's what this chapter of Tehillim, I believe, is about, and hopefully it will relate to you. One thing that I think is left unanswered in this chapter of Tehillim, but I think it is purposefully ambiguous, is, are we talking about a physical, or are we talking about a spiritual salvation? You don't get that sense. I don't think there's a part of the Perek of Tehillim where it tips its hand, but I think that's very much the point. I think it's both the physical and the spiritual salvation. And in that regard, I think it broadens this chapter of Tehillim to speak to any part of our life, whenever it is we're going through a difficult situation, whenever it is that we feel a little bit more distance from Hashem, whenever it is that there are forces that are trying to harm us, whether externally or internally. So that's this chapter of Tehillim, and I think that's when it's speaking to us. Everyone have a great week. It's great.